Whenever you're ready for me to start.
Whenever you're ready to start.
Oh, thank you. If you're a bear for TV, loud music and fun, how are you going to get your homework done?
How are you going to get it done indeed? How are you going to get it?
How are you going to get it? You got to get it.
This is the least grammatically correct thing I believe the Berenstains ever wrote. If you're a bear is...
If you're a bear for TV.
Is that an expression?
It is now. I'm a real bear for ice cream.
Yeah.
Because bears love ice cream and they just bear down on it.
is that where that comes from? Like, I'm a bear for this, which means that like when I get my hands on it, I just put everything
into
it.
I know we're both not huge into the stock market. Maybe it's like a bear bull thing.
Right. I'm a bull for TV.
That means I don't even own a TV, which I tell people all the time.
I don't own a TV, so I guess I'm a real bull. This is a real bears and bulls situation, then.
It is. Mm-hmm. And, hey, you got to get that homework done.
You got to get the homework done. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week I have back on the program someone who hasn't been here since...
What was the last? I was on the Funhouse episode. It was,
yeah. You and your
Hollywood Josh Hollis and I were on.
Hollywood Josh.
All the way from L.A. He's not here this time, so you're stuck with just me.
He's not. Guess who came into my house this time? Nobody. Because I'm not at my house. I'm at Brian's house.
You're my house. Everyone is now at my house.
Everyone, welcome Brian Skinner back to the show. Hello, Brian Skinner.
Hello, Phil. Hello, everybody.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you for talking about this. Thank you for... So this is... Okay. This week's book is The Berenstain Bears and the Homework Hassle. And I wanted to talk to you about this because as a human being, you have had experience with homework.
I have had some homework at time. I have had hassles with it.
Mm-hmm. And you have a child,
yes,
who I am sure has had homework.
Yes, we are two dads.
Two dads.
Just two dads today.
Just a couple of dads on the internet having a good time.
Having a good time.
Talking about kids and homework.
We're just going to complain about our kids today. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, because oh boy.
Oh boy.
And the concept of homework.
It's work that you do at home, which who wants to do work at home?
There's nothing you can get out of it. There's nothing good about it.
It's all bad. If you're doing your arithmetics, your maths, your mathematics,
mm-hmm.
all these things, what do you learn where you couldn't? I'm not a bear for homework. I'm just, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know when I get homework, I do not like to bear down on it. I like to barely do it.
you're a real dad and brother.
What I love about the concept of homework is that it's a given, but like, If kids didn't have homework, like the world would not change. Like there would be nothing different in the world.
I have found that my daughter, she's in fifth grade now. She's done a tremendous amount of homework that I have not helped her with.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've never seen her have an aha moment with it. Like, oh, I didn't understand this until I did the homework on it.
Right.
Without that teacher guidance, maybe in future grades,
mm-hmm.
she'd have that moment that I never had through many years of schooling, many years of post-secondary schooling.
See, my experience with homework is always, I don't understand it in class, so I take it home, and I don't understand it at home. So then I go into the class the next day, and I said, I didn't understand the homework, and then they helped me with it. And if they'd helped me with it the day before, then we could have moved on the next day.
Now, were you ever sick where you missed the class, and they gave you the homework on the thing that you missed? Because those are nightmares to me because guidance of like having done the lesson
right.
or the follow-up, those words don't mean anything to me.
Because homework is kind of like a daily test.
Yes.
It's like, here's what we learned. Now here, take this test home and do it and then bring it in tomorrow and prove to me that you learned. Because so if you missed the day's lesson, it was basically just like translate this alien language.
Right. But... How Holly's teacher, she had the same teacher for 2 years. I'm not going to name her, but I named Holly. Anyway, she's not listening. She suggested to it because she had a deal where we had to sign and bring in homework every single day.
Oh, wow.
Every day we had to, parents had to sign it or it wasn't complete. every day. And their grades are out of five. And Holly missed two times.
Okay.
It was actually just two pieces of homework one day. That dropped her grade from a 5 to a 3.
Yeah.
If she missed one more time, it went to a 2. She had homework every day. So the percentage base was gigantic.
Right.
But the grade was not reflective of it. Also, she was in fourth grade. Who cares?
Right. So Mitzi gets, she's in second grade. She gets, but she's in a Montessori school, so she's in class with first, second, and third graders. It's kind of like a little red schoolhouse.
Oh, that's adorable.
Kind of like Bear Country Schoolhouse was in the early days, not in the later days.
Right.
And they get homework every day, but they get a packet at the beginning of the week. And it's basically like, here you go, kids, turn it in on Friday, I guess. And you can do it at whatever rate you want. Which is kind of interesting because you have to teach your kid, like your kid has to learn how to like manage their
time.
But what it usually ends up is it's Thursday and you have a bunch of homework left to do.
It's like we just had a 4-day weekend, not the big 4-day weekend coming up. We had a other 4-day weekend for parent teacher conference week, and Holly had some homework and she had 4 days to do it. She did it at school. We dropped her off early before she got to class. Because none of us thought about it. We were busy being at home.
See, I became, so in school, I became the master at doing my homework on the bus. That was like my thing. Like,
yeah.
I'd sit down on the bus, I'd pull out my backpack and just start madly scribbling in. Like,
that's a good way to make sure your backpack never gets to the point where it smells bad.
It never smelled bad, and I never made good grades.
Never. I have never had my, I think I learned to game the system.
Uh-huh.
Just as you do. Like, you figure out what your professor or teacher demands.
Right.
And you can generally figure out the numbers game in between there, which is a life lesson because life is a numbers game. Just got to figure out how to hit that low bar.
Well, I will get to the lowest point of my homework life later on in this episode. I will tell the story of the stupidest way I ever got around turning in late, super late homework.
I am very excited.
And it'll be a tale for the ages. But our listeners are probably wondering, why are you guys even talking about homework? Like, what does this have to do? Well, I guess they know that the book's called The Homework Hassle. But
hey, it could mean, you know, at home you're doing work like dusting and making biscuits and other things you do in your house.
Or it could be at home, Papa's getting hassled by coworkers, like emailing him all the time.
Right, that happens these days, except for, hey, just don't have a phone.
Right. But it's not. It's literally about being hassled by homework or the hassle of homework. Or what's the homework hassle? I guess we'll have to figure out what they're actually referring to.
Hey, we learn what homework actually means to an adult in this way.
Yes.
So I'm excited to get there because the logic leap there is tremendous.
And we'll see if what lessons we learn, if lessons are learned, and if the lesson makes any sense in this book. But I do want to point out the first thing you said to me about this book was that Teacher Bob has great penmanship.
He has fantastic penmanship. I know people complain that cursive is a dying art. Who cares? It can die. But I do appreciate his one. All the lower cases are the same size. And I think even the T's are crossed at that spot.
And it's on unlined paper.
Unlined paper. I could not do that if you put a baseball bat to my head. So I don't believe in gun violence.
Go. You have this splash page for the title, which is brother looking sheepish, sister looking smug, mama looking something, and papa looking angry, holding up a crumpled letter that says, "Dear parent, I regret to report that Brother Bear has fallen too far behind in his homework. Please call me. Yours truly, Teacher Bob," who's never actually a character in this one.
How many of these splash pages by percentage have one of the cubs with a smug face?
Right.
I love her smug face. As a kid, I would totally, being the younger child, I'd be like, I'm with her.
Right.
He's screwed.
This is the smug. I think this is Sister's, like, one of her best smug books. She's just smug the whole time.
She's kind of being a twerp.
Yes. You might say she's a twerp. So, Brian, why don't you tell us what happens exactly in The Berenstain Bears and the Homework Hassle? Or the Berenstain Bears. Okay, it is and the Homework Hassle.
And the Homework Hassle. The whole plot? The whole.
Let's just walk through it. Let's walk and talk.
Let's walk and talk. So Mom and Papa, they're just having a day. Uh-huh. They're just trying to relax at home, as you do as a parent. Unfortunately, they're interrupted by a stink.
As happens when you're a parent.
Yes, because when your kid is being lax,
mm-hmm.
the first sign you'll get is a scent.
Is a scent.
Especially if you're a bear, I assume. You're smelling out problems all the time.
Right, right. They have an enhanced sense of smell. It's how they survive in the wild. So this trait has carried over into their domestic life as well. What's causing the stank, though?
What's causing the stank is brother's backpack. I can't imagine, like, there's a fact that, like, hey, you may fall behind on your homework. Do you ever fall behind on your eating of bananas?
Okay, so has Holly ever done this? Has she?
Well, she has left food in her lunch bag, but I empty it every day.
Yeah.
And for a while, she was just dumping it at school so she wouldn't have to eat what she didn't like, the teacher told me. But it's never been where I've been in the house and thought, what's that stink? And it was the backpack. There's so many other things that stink worse.
I don't know if we've ever had the what's that stink. I think we might have. Mitzi has a habit of not finishing her food and then just leaving it in her lunch bag. But I think only on one or two occasions have we just all completely blanked on, like, making sure it was taken out of the backpack. And then on some Friday night, she'll go to a friend's house. And so the bag will just sort of fester overnight. And then you'll get it in the next day and be like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's like an apple core. But she's gotten good at also just, we think, just dumping stuff she doesn't want to eat.
I mean, they're generally smarter than we think they are. Because if we could think to do it, they would do it.
She will come home with food trash that we don't recognize.
Is that like traded stuff?
Traded stuff. I think they have a table at school of just like random food that kids can grab, like if they didn't bring their lunch or they need a little extra to eat. And we think she sort of grazes on that as well.
Holly's been coming back with empty butter packets, which I'm not giving to her.
No.
But she also sometimes, with sandwiches I've given her, the sandwich comes back too. So I think she's just eating the butter that from the cafeteria line.
In a way, that's kind of a child's dream.
She's basically living the dream.
Right, because what kid wouldn't just like, if I could just sit here and eat the butter packets?
Well, she's doing it at school. I'm lucky she's not just pouring salt on the butter and eating it that way.
Those little plastic jellies and jams you get at IHOP or whatever.
Yes,
and
my mother used to collect those.
You peel the top off and there's jelly and jam. And as a kid, I knew that if you squeezed the bottom, you'd get this perfect little rectangle of jelly. And I always just wanted to squeeze it out and just like lay it on my tongue like a communion wafer. And like,
what a holy experience that would be.
Yeah. It is kind of like the blood and body, though. Because
really?
Like it's fruit of the vine. It's like
fruit of the vine.
Right? Yeah, it's like grapes.
And peanut butters are is.
I wouldn't put the peanut butter
what,
on.
What part of
is the peanut butter and jelly sandwich the most holy of sandwiches?
I can imagine it would be. I mean, we got the bread, uh-huh. Which is the body.
The body.
The fruit of the vine.
Yep, the blood.
And what is the peanut butter?
The peanut butter is the protein.
Oh, the protein. The protein of the Lord.
Yes, the fat and proteins right there. It's like you talk about the body and the blood, but you don't get like this, like the others. Like that has to transubstantiate into something.
I mean, something. I mean, everything is really.
Right, right.
If we're going to get theologically, which we're not.
We're not at all, but we do like to be people who use all the parts of the Savior. So.
Yes. So
this conversation got way off track. So they find an apple core, a moldy piece of bread, and an old banana peel.
That bread had to be in there for quite some time.
If it's moldy?
Yeah.
But brother is an older kid, so and they say later on in the book, he's like, hey, backpacks are private.
Yes, they do. And I don't know why that struck me at the time, and also when you said it, as being somewhat less than what it probably actually, more than what it actually means of like, hey, don't look at my homework.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it could be, hey, don't look at my anything.
Yeah, hey, you said the backpacks are private. And like brother's mental calculation as he has to like reconfigure like where he puts his stuff from now on.
It's like when your parent found one thing and then in your head, you're like, what things around that thing did they possibly see? And if they don't, how can I get there to move that? Because it's now in the danger zone.
It's more for me, it's I grow up and I look back over my childhood, especially my like teenhood, and I'm like, huh, I can't believe my parents never found X, Y, or Z. And then I'm like, oh, they probably did. They were just too embarrassed to say X,
right.
Y, or Z at me. For listeners at home, I'm referring to things such as artifacts that I was keeping from museum friends of mine.
Yeah, or like, you grow out of toys and you keep them around. Your parents don't.
I hope mom didn't find my old teddy.
Yeah, I hope. I hope Dad did not find my Megatron.
I hope Mom and Dad didn't find the thing that my friend's parents found and he asked me to stash for him under my waterbed. I had a waterbed at one point.
Everyone in our age either had a waterbed, parents had a waterbed, or had a friend with a waterbed.
My parents had a super firm waterbed. What's the point? Yeah. Like, they were even angry at it when they got it home. They were like, what's the point? Oh, we got this waterbed, and I wasn't even moved. So they got me a waterbed when I needed a new bed, and they were like, would you like a waterbed? I don't know why they thought that was a good idea for, like, a 16, 17-year-old kid, but I was like, sure. And then I had this waterbed, and... I don't know why it wasn't great.
I don't understand why my father wanted a waterbed as he was a sea captain. I mean, 14 days out of the month, he's basically on a water mattress at all times. Like, why would he want to bring that home? You think you want a piece of land to sit on?
The earth is your water mattress.
Exactly. But yeah, so inside this stink is a, I assume, smelly letter.
Oh, yeah.
From Teacher Bob.
Teacher Bob.
And brother has not given this letter to his parents.
Yes, and this is the aforementioned letter that we read.
Yeah,
the
one in great cursive, mm-hmm. Fantastic cursive.
Where is brother?
Well, brother, here, I was under the assumption that before smartphones, before tablets, before the Xbox, before everything, kids could not be distracted by anything.
Oh, God, no, there was nothing.
There was nothing except for everything.
Right.
Because he is doing... all of it at once.
Mm-hmm.
He has a giant, giant cordless phone.
This is amazing. The antenna on this thing extends to the heavens.
There is the word bubble. It begins below it, right. and it ends above it. And there are a lot of words in there.
At first, I was like, I wonder if they extended the antenna so far just so that they could, just because they had so many words. But no, you see it later on, and it's a big antenna.
I mean, he could call the moon with this thing.
Uh-huh. Or maybe next door, because this is an old cordless phone.
He's watching the Bear Stooges, his favorite program. He's eating popcorn. He's eating another banana. That could stay there forever. He doesn't take care of banana peels.
He's got a tumbler full of drink. He's got a banana on top of his jam box with headphones plugged into it. He's also got a portable video game system on top of the television.
Yeah, that's the Bear Boy. The Game Bear.
Yep. Which looks more... it's supposed to be a Game Boy, but it looks more like an Atari Lynx.
It's very long. It's very wide. It also could be one of those Tiger Electronic games that no one liked.
Oh, yeah.
The LCD things.
Yeah. We all liked them before real video games
Before we realized things could do things.
Oh, look. It's just like I'm playing Popeye at the arcade. And then you get a little... oh, no, it wasn't. It was just a little LED Popeye running around.
I've been chasing that Popeye experience my entire life. Grabbing those hearts.
You know what's awesome? And, you know, not to go off on a tangent, but what's awesome is that video games were this, like, this young technology, this young form of entertainment, like, when we were kids, like, it was still, like, coming up. Every time... and I guess for even kids today... every time, like, they make an advancement in video games, it's like, oh, this is the best it's ever going to be.
Right.
Oh, this is the best it's ever going to be. Like, you can't get better than this. I remember thinking that when Super Mario Brothers came out, and I was like, oh, this is as cool as it's ever going to look. Look at this. It's like looking at a cartoon.
Yeah, it looked like a cartoon. It moved across the screen smoothly.
Yeah, and I was just like, I can't imagine what's beyond this.
Yeah, and it always got better. Except for if you look back at the early 2000s when everything was like 5 polygons, and you see magazines covers like, oh, you know, Lara Croft has never looked better. I'm like, oh, poor her then.
But I do remember when I thought Lara Croft had never looked better.
It's true. We all instantly hate what came before.
So also want to point out that the Bear Stooges has been established already. They first showed up, I believe, in Too Much TV. So we know that the Bear Stooges are just this thing that kids love.
They love it. I mean, even though he's in an age where Game Bears exist and jam boxes and gigantic phones, that Bear Stooges humor is still captivating 1/9 of his attention.
I do want to know if this is the Bear Stooges original lineup or if this is after the Curly Bear had died. After the Shemp Bear had died. Maybe they're on Curly Joe or the Joe Bear Sir Bear, I guess would be. I don't know which lineup of the Bear Stooges this is.
What if it's the cartoon version of them that doesn't age and no one dies?
Oh, the three robotic Bear Stooges?
Yes.
Or and not to belabor the point, but reflecting something you wrote to me earlier today, we didn't call our troop of comedians the Human Stooges.
No.
They were the Three Stooges.
They could What are the options? Three bears? I mean, that's taken.
I guess that's true. Or maybe just the Three Stooges.
That is that going to be copyrighted at this point, or is that open? I mean, you buy the DVDs at Walgreens,
what they're allowed to say. I'm just saying, in their universe, wouldn't they have just called them the Three Stooges?
Well, we don't call things, we'll get to this in a second, in a deeper version, but we don't call things human anything often enough for my liking.
Right.
I once was shopping for a brush for my cat, and we wanted to get a normal brush. She had longer hair, like cat. We didn't like cat brushes for what she was doing. And my wife and I literally walked around the store like, where do they sell the human brushes?
Were you in a pet store, though?
No, weren't. Okay. Because everything there was for humans except for one swath, which was for pets.
Because if you were in like PetSmart and you were like, where do they have the human brushes?
I was in HumanSmart.
Where's HumanSmart? Okay, we have PetSmart. Where's HumanSmart?
I think we're getting robbed of these things we deserve as a species.
Like, yeah, it's time to take it back. Take it back from the bears, I guess.
But he is talking with a friend while having headphones on. He's being a jerk.
He's not talking with a friend. He's talking with his cousin, who is his only friend.
Ouch. That hits me where I live.
He is kicking back. I don't know how he's concentrating on anything, and neither does Papa. Papa comes by and says the most dad thing Papa Bear has ever said in this series, which is, "Excuse me, young sir, is this the Mars space station?"
I'm laughing again at the size of the antenna. Yeah, see, that is an incredibly dad thing to say.
Because it's like, you don't understand how words work, Dad, or like what.
It's like my father would walk in, no matter what game we were playing, board game, video game, and he'd always ask, "Who's winning?"
Yep.
Playing Mario Brothers, who's winning?
Yep. I still do that. I actually do that.
It's pretty great.
I do that to my teenager. I do that to Ollie. If Ollie's on the phone, I'll say, what you playing? And she'll be like, like Minecraft. And I'll be like, you winning? And it's not, I know it's not funny. It's not clever. It makes me chuckle on the inside, though.
That inside glow that you get as a dad.
But also the inside loathing.
Yes. Like, I've become what I've hated.
My dad would always say, he would always mispronounce, and it took me a while to realize he was probably deliberately doing it. He would always mispronounce Nintendo.
My mother called it, what did she call it? She couldn't say Doritos. There were Tortitos, and Nintendo was the Nintendo.
My dad would say the Intendo.
Yeah, my friend's mother did this too. They all, as a group, could not pronounce that first N. It was always it was the Nintendo. If you were renting a game, you were renting a Nintendo.
Yep, are you getting a Nintendo game? And I think when you said all their friends, I don't think it's that they couldn't pronounce it. I think they all got together and were like, okay, how are we going to convey to our child that we have nothing but disdain for this toy?
That could happen. Did they also get together and decide that Battletoads was called Battletods?
Probably. I don't think any parent ever actually referred to Battletoads in any capacity. So
I had a friend named Todd, and we were renting Battletoads one day, and my mom was like, "Oh, you're playing Battletoads. That's just your game."
Wow.
It happened in Battletoads. Battletoads.
Was he then known as Battletod for the rest of your childhood?
He was just called Spaz by every adult.
Oh, that's terrible, and a terrible thing to say to a person.
They did it to his face.
Oh.
They would pick up the phone and go, "Brian, Spaz is calling you."
Oh, my gosh. It's terrible.
It's terrible. He still liked my parents.
We had a friend, and this is a Growing Pains reference. We had a friend who lived across the street who was momentarily referred to as Boner.
Uh-huh.
Because he was incredibly skinny. And so the kids would just call him that because you could see his ribs. Yeah. He wasn't like malnourished or anything. He was just a skinny kid. And he was really muscly and like really just ran around a lot. And so we called him that for a while. And we stopped doing it, I think, because of the Growing Pains character. We were like, oh, we don't want to compare you to this guy.
My father called – I had a friend who was tall and skinny, and my father called him Long Shanks. And my friend could not figure out what Shanks
meant. That's amazing.
My father was a sailor from Newfoundland. So he said a lot of things. He often would come in and call us birds. What are you birds up to?
Oh.
And my friends would be like, why is he calling us birds? I'm like, that's just how my dad talks.
That's amazing.
He also, if he was too full, he was blouched.
Wow.
And he said, instead of backwards, he said back formers.
Back formers?
So he was a constant source of fear and confusion and interest to my friends.
Back formers seems like something parents would call transformers.
Yes, you would
like,
think.
Oh, you playing with them back formers? No, Dad, it's transformers. The Autobots. And the oh, you playing with them deceptions? No.
You know, I'm realizing how much of a how much I do this to my own daughter and how much she hates it.
Yep.
But I do it all the time.
Yep. I think when Ollie used to watch the Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always called it the Witches of Waverly Averly, just to annoy her.
I've been telling Holly since she was young that Fluttershy in My Little Ponies' real name was Shymalock. And I made up a GIF, and I said and I took the font and it said Shymalock and put it over a picture of her and said, this is what she's called in Canada when she got older. This is the Canadian credits. She's called Fluttershy in America. And we got to Canada, and she went to my friend's kids who were same age here, and like,
oh no.
And she's like, my dad has been saying for years, is Fluttershy called Shymalock in Canada? And they just gave her the strangest look.
Oh no.
But even now, like, she, if the show comes on, she's like, look, it's Fluttershy, not Shymalock, Dad.
Oh my gosh. That's like the beginning of the end, though.
Yeah.
Oh. So Papa Bear yells at Brother Bear.
He does. He deserves it.
And what I love is we get to see the bears, like, build up a good head of steam in these coming pages.
I like that we've got a lot of, first we had the half-lidded stare from Brother Bear as he's enjoying his excess.
Yes.
And now we have Sister Bear. She's got the look on her face, a half-lidded look of, you've got it. You're in trouble. I'm going to enjoy this ride.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to enjoy this ride.
Well, this is the part where we find out that the brother says, in my backpack, I thought my backpack was private. And Mama says, when something starts to smell like garbage, it isn't private anymore.
Wow. Well, take baths, everybody.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. And this is where we get the wonderful, the angriest brother at sister and the angriest thing. Okay, first he says, why you little at her? Because she starts calling him out on all of his distractions, and from soccer to basketball to video games to going around like a big shot, which I don't – is that a distraction?
It is. I mean, you have to – like, I've never been a big shot, but I think if I would want to go around as a big shot, it would take a lot of time and prep.
Yeah.
Like, and then you have to go and do it consistently. Otherwise, it won't work.
Right. So she says there's soccer, basketball, video games, going around like a big shot, and
girls.
Girls. Which we've seen no evidence of.
No, that seems out of... I mean, we don't know if she's being truthful here. She's like letting in on a secret because he was doing seven things at once. None of them had anything to do with girls.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, A, this kind of ages up brother a little in my eyes. Like, if it's something his little sister is calling him out on now, that, like, he's been, like, concentrating on girls. Also, he doesn't deny it. He just says, why you little...
Like she had let in on the secret that her
parents,
that might be in that private backpack.
Mm-hmm.
But she has literally four scenes in a row where she is at peak smug.
Yes.
Like, she never drops it for a second. It only gets better.
She's at peak smug and brother is at peak Berenstain glare.
Yeah, he's got the one eyeball is just pointing downwards. He's got the full brow. He is pointing.
Yep.
He's angry.
And Papa, she's so smug that Papa actually says, why don't you go do your own homework? And she's like, it's all done.
Well, he wouldn't know that, would he? He doesn't know about getting homework done.
No, he doesn't. We'll find that out. And this is where brother pulls out the greatest thing he's ever said, which is...
He calls her a twerp.
You call those scribbles homework, you little twerp? Shouted brother.
I'm impressed that he didn't, like, bearify that up. You little bear twerp.
Yeah, you little...
I thought what humans call twerps.
There's this moment in one of the Ramona books where Beezus calls Ramona a hateful little creep. And it hurts Ramona because she's been called a creep before, but the word hateful, like, sort of drives it home, like, oh, this is serious. And I think brother's lack of modifier, just calling sister a twerp, means that he means it.
What was it most – you have a sibling.
I do.
What is the most hurtful thing that you've ever said to her? Because what was – hurtful thing I said to my brother ever, and I've done some things as a little brother, was that I threw a basketball at his head and said, you have nothing going for you.
How old were you?
I think I was 7. He would have been a teenager at that point.
You have nothing going for you.
You have nothing going for you.
Did you know what that meant? Like, imply? Like, did you understand the gravity of
statement? I think I believed it. Like, in my eyes, he had nothing going for him. Like, I couldn't see the worth in my brother at that moment.
Oh, my goodness.
And that it would go forward, he had no chance. He had nothing going for him.
I don't know if I ever said anything deliberately hurtful to my sister because I wasn't that kind of a kid and I didn't have a basketball, but I did once bust up a party she was throwing without my parents' knowledge, because my parents both worked nights at this point. And she was having a party at the house one night, and I was up in my room. I was very angry about it because she was doing something against the rules. And I went downstairs and I screamed at her in front of all of her friends that she was breaking the rules.
You're an 80s comedy little brother.
And she then came, and then I ran into my room, and then she burst into my room and she yelled at me for yelling at her in front of her friends. It was awesome.
I would tell stories of me helping my brother clean up after secret parties that he did when my parents were gone. But this is not the podcast.
This is not
for those details.
That would have actually been the episode of Berenstain Bears and the Slumber Party, which I'm was not about a secret party.
I'm not sure even that our listeners want to hear the details.
That'll be for our special Berenstain Bears After Dark episode.
Exactly.
Well, brother gets so upset that he actually starts screaming, "I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is too much homework, vocabulary homework, arithmetic homework, science homework. It's homework, 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 every subject, every day till it's coming out of my ears." And he yells so hard that he wipes the smug look off of sister's face.
She is in fear. And then he kind of slowly moves his eyes back towards the TV because he's won.
Because the Bear Stooges are still on, but this is a full-on fit. He throws the papers fall off the desk and everything.
He's taking his headphones off. He's mm-hmm. shaking his fist like it is a tantrum.
Yep. A little boy tantrum.
And he gets kind of hit with logic because he says he's got so much homework. It's coming to his ears. They ask him what kind of homework he has. He's done. If he's built busy with it.
Yeah.
He hasn't done any of it.
He says he has to do adding and subtracting fractions and memorizing two stanzas of "The Bear Stood on the Burning Deck."
As opposed to "The Human."
What is "The Bear Stood on the Burning Deck" a reference to?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, and I forgot to look it up.
Well, we can't do that on air. That would be unprofessional.
That would be very unprofessional. So I'm going to leave it up to listeners. You tell me what "The Bear Stood on the Burning Deck" was. I'm going to leave a blank. Right here, you say it as soon as I take a pause and say what it's a reference to right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
cool.
Right.
That's
right.
Deep cut.
I'm so glad I have such smart listeners. The Bear Stooges who were busy hitting each other over the head. I do want to point out that in reality, that would have been like the Mo of the Bear Stooges, probably hitting both of them. But in any case.
Would he be called Bo?
Bo? I don't know what he would have been called. Bear Mo? No, you can't say that. That's like a slur.
I apologize. It just sort of slipped out.
I don't know for what, but it just sounds terrible.
It sounds really bad. Not funny. Sister is back to being smug. She's got him.
Yep, but then she has an extra reason for being smug because the phone rings, and it is our favorite organization in the Bear universe, the Bear RS.
The Bear Revenue Service.
The Bear Revenue Service.
For revenue from bears.
Mm-hmm. Not in...
So, okay, I have a question.
Okay.
You have established... It's not all bears, right? It is just bear country. There are other species, right?
How do you mean?
Like
other intelligent animals.
Yes.
Right.
Do they have their own internal revenue system?
I was just wondering the same thing. I assume so.
If I wasn't a bear, I don't want to pay the bear tax.
Mm-hmm.
I pay the human tax. I pay the goose tax.
This is bear country.
Yeah.
We don't know. Again, we don't know how big bear country is.
Nope.
We know that it has some... Like, there's parts of it that are just like the United States of America, but again, it's not called the United States of America. It's called Bear Country. For all we know, it's like the Louisiana Purchase or whatever. It's like part, like the middle of the continent, and then there's like Gooseland and like...
And the animated series, the second one, takes place in Canada, obviously.
It takes very obviously
very
takes place
much.
In Canada. Well,
I it's like a warm blanket
very
for me.
Thickly accented.
I love it.
I did establish that the Treehouse series, because Treehouse is of course a Canadian company, Treehouse series is the universe where for some reason all the bears migrated north.
Right. It's fantastic. I love it. Every inch of that, I turn it on, I'm like, oh, this is my child.
So we find out that Papa's being hunted by the IRS. It's like this weird subplot.
It's not even a subplot. It is the solution to the problem. Is it?
Is it the solution? Well, let's find out.
Let's
because
find out.
Brother is so like confounded by the idea that he has to do his homework that he just leaves the house.
Yes.
His parents are like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "Going for a walk."
His feet are just going to take him where his feet take him.
And where do they take him?
To his grandparents, where they often take them.
Yes. because where else is he going to go?
Well, I mean, there's only so many options. There's cousins. There's grandparents.
If this was the chapter books, he'd have a million options. But this is not the chapter books.
It's not the chapter books. He has to go to the other bubble where the other bears are.
Yes. He walks from one bubble to the external bubble to some more interior bubbles. And Gramps looks very concerned.
Well, Gramps knows that there's a... His bloodline is tainted.
Mm-hmm.
With the problems of these bears.
Right.
and he sees that face. I think he knows what's going on for the second. He's like, I know this face.
And we should point out that at this point, Brother has been grounded from TV, video games, everything. Like, he's not allowed to do a thing.
I mean, why even wake up in the morning?
That's what I say. I remember having my Nintendo taken away from me for 2 weeks. That was the worst, especially because my dad said, I'm taking your Nintendo away from you for 2 weeks.
I once got grounded for 2 weeks for leaving the radio on in the car.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what happens when you turn off the car?
He turns off the radio.
Yeah, my father said, I turned the car on. The radio was still going. You must have drained the battery.
Oh.
He was an odd man.
I wonder if he also thought that, like, the DJ would get very tired.
Just talking the entire
right,
time.
Right, I just have to keep talking.
It's like, Brian, are you there? Brian, it's been so long. I'm so cold.
That joke
I'm
doesn't so actually hungry. Make any sense because... The DJ did keep talking, even though you turned off the radio.
That's true.
That's what happens. They don't stop. They're not like, everyone turned their radios off. I guess
well,
I'm done.
You still have better logic than my father had.
Radio is over. Speaking of radios and listening to radios, once upon a time, there was no TV in Bear Country.
Wow. Now they have Bear Boys.
Yeah, they have Bear Bear Boys.
Game Bears.
They have TVs. Before Game Bears, before TV sets, radio was television.
Yeah.
And they listened to a Western called Bear Smoke because gun smoke is called gun smoke because smoke comes out of a gun once you shoot it at somebody.
So if you shot off a bear.
I guess it's referring to the smoke that comes out of a bear once you've shot it.
Maybe it takes place up north, and when they breathe,
that
you see your breath, and then like they call that bear smoke. It's kind of a colloquialism.
Yep. Oh, the bear smoke is thick this morning.
Right, that's it.
Okay, there you go.
It's not one-to-one to gun smoke. We're making an assumption.
It's an assumption. It's
Northwestern.
I was going to say, what's the Alaskan sitcom that used to exist?
That one.
Northern Exposure.
Northern Exposure.
It's their Northern Exposure. Bear smoke.
Bear smoke.
Yep. I say, if I ever visit Alaska, I'm gonna say, oh, the man smoke is thick. It's so man smoky out.
It will have been nice knowing you.
Then I'll just live there for the rest of my life.
Your whole life in somebody's basement.
Also, Buck Bruin in the 25th century, which is their assuming Buck Rogers of the 21st century.
Doesn't he already watch a cartoon that's basically Buck Rogers?
Every single TV show is basically Buck Rogers.
We
in this
basically
world.
Did an episode. Like the first episode I was on was on basically He-Man / Buck Rogers.
Right. And Graham says that these radio shows, Bear Smoke and Buck Bruin, were sort of like Bear Trek, which means that in their version of Star Trek, they got on a spaceship and went amongst the bears, I guess.
Just among all the bears out there.
It would make more sense to call it Star Bears.
It would.
Or I guess that's too much like Star Wars, though.
But, well, I mean, it depends. Is there a Star Bears already out there? Because Star Trek, Bear Trek would have come first.
Right.
For television or radio.
So Bear Trek.
So... They should have grabbed it while they could.
You know how they always said that, like, the proposal for Star Trek was that it was Wagon Train in the Stars. That's how I said it. It's like Wagon Train, but in the stars. Bear Trek could just have been Wagon Train. Because that's all a Bear Trek would have been. It would have been in a wagon.
What would Battlestar Galactica have been with Bear Talk?
Battlestar Bear Galactica. Yeah. Bear, yeah. Battle Bears Galactic? No.
Battle Bears is kind of like Battle Bots.
It is kind of like Battle Bots. This is where you build a bear and you make it fight another bear.
Just like the Build-A-Bear Workshop.
Is the Build-A-Bear Workshop in Bear Country just what they call Frankenstein?
We're going down holes that have nothing to do with homework.
Dr. Frankenstein's Build-A-Bear Workshop was the name of their novel. I guess we know that it's called Frankenbear's Monster.
We do.
We covered that.
I mean, there's so many things that are covered that ask more, bring up more questions than answers.
I know. This makes no sense. So we find out that Papa Bear was obsessed with the radio and he never did his homework.
What a loser.
Yeah.
Like, it's the radio. It's not even The Shadow. That's a good show.
Yeah.
The Bear Shadow.
The Bear Shadow. That's great. That's a good pun. The Bear Shadow. Shadow of the Bear.
Shadow of the Bear.
Barrow.
That's Zorro.
Yep. So Gramp says that he clamped down on him.
Whoa.
Just the way Papa's clamping down on you, which is a bear thing, I guess.
They're bearing down. He's a bear for clamping.
Oh, yeah. Like, once upon a time, he would have actually, like, gotten him in his teeth.
Yeah. Just grab him by the scruff, walk him around.
Yep. But instead, he's like, I had to get onto your Papa about that. And then brother's like, thanks. And he leaves.
Yeah. Like, it's like, your dad sucked too. Great, this makes me feel better.
Right. It's like the episode of Home Improvement where the son gets busted for pot, and then he finds out that Tim Allen also got busted for pot when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you got busted for pot when you were a teenager too. And Tim Allen's like, I guess I did. But it's the same thing. Like, and nothing gets learned in that episode of Home Improvement, because they're like, yeah, that's kind of true. Parents are kind of hypocrites, aren't they?
Yeah, like, all Grandpa did was narc on his dad. And then, like, he didn't offer a solution, like, you should learn to work hard like your dad.
Right. It wasn't like, so here's what your dad did. He made himself a schedule. He double-checked. No, he's just like, yeah, your dad has problems with that, too.
And then we find out.
He still has problems with that.
Which means Brother Bear is never going to get better.
Yeah, this is a cycle.
Like, Grandpa Bear, Gramps, he knows this because it's him, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unbroken line.
Yep.
Of laziness. Procrastination. That's the word of the day.
We assume it's through Gramps' side of the family. It could be through Grams. She doesn't say word one.
Maybe because she's so busy thinking about things she'd rather be doing.
Yes. She's just comfortable. And this is the thing in the books. Gramps always talks in the books, and Gram never says a word in the books. She talks in the cartoon, but she just stares. She's just like,
She's got a rich inner life, we can assume.
She had a one-bear band. That was she did vaudeville when she was a young woman.
Vaudeville.
She had all Gramps was a stage door Johnny. She had the life. He never got to live.
Well, now she's experienced everything. She's got nothing left to say.
Yep. She's like, I'm content just living in my memories, son. So Pop is being investigated by the IRS, basically.
Yes, he
for delinquency of paying taxes, I assume.
Yeah, he's been too busy, I don't know, listening to the radio?
Working for a living.
I bet he listens to the podcast while he works.
He does. He seems like that kind of guy.
I hopefully you do, too. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, supporters, for listening to this Deep in Bear Country. Pop is in trouble. We don't know how much trouble. We just know that the tax man is like, we're going to give you a little more time, but you're going to have to catch up. And then he leaves.
Oh, they came to his house. He didn't. He called him. And he came to his. He didn't send him a letter. He came to his house.
When the IRS calls you, that's bad.
Yeah, I've gotten letters from them saying like, "Oh, by the way, this." I'm like, "Cool, I'll solve this right now."
When they get to the point where like human beings are trying to
enter your
chase you down.
Yes, they are in your house. They've taken off their hats.
Yeah.
Does he get a name in the book here?
He does not get a name in the book.
Because he doesn't have his great name that he has in the other version.
Yes, we will get to that. This is all through the eyes of Sister. She says, he's from the BRS, has something to do with taxes. It looks like Papa hasn't been taking care of business either. But that's it. Like, this is bad. Like, look at Papa's face. He looks devastated.
Well, everything he wanted to buy with his disposable income, he no longer can.
Yeah.
That money's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But Sister and Mama think it's funny.
Yep.
It's the family's money.
Is it? Because I'm wondering if it's the thing where, like, Mama and Papa, like, they have a combined, like, account, but they also, like, have their own,
like, check. You know, so when someone buys you something, you buy them for something, and they can't look at the account like, oh, you bought me something. It's not a surprise.
Yeah. So Mama has her quilting. We know that she does quilting on the side. She probably stashes all that money
in a quilt.
Yeah, I sewed it all into the lining of my quilt. Oh no!
I sold it.
I sold all my quilts. That was a bad option.
What an ironic thing. Not really irony either.
No, nope.
It feels like if you ironed it,
nope.
The quilt with an iron.
It's not irony. It's just bad decisions.
It's bad irony.
Bare irony is if you sew money into your quilts that you make selling quilts and then sell the quilts with the money, that's bare irony.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Can't argue with that.
I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that.
The whole shebang.
No one will read it, and I won't have any more friends. And so the last thing that we see is Papa and brother working on their homework together, while Mama sits knitting and sister smugly reads a book.
So what have they learned?
What did they learn? It says it was a good lesson for both of them.
That they got caught?
Yeah.
Cool.
I guess the lesson is do your work or you're going to have to do it.
Do your work or you're going to have a lot of work at once.
Or the lesson could be homework never ends and there's always going to be someone breathing down your neck.
Yeah. You just can't skim until you're done school. The man's always there. He always wants you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't trust your dad.
Nope.
And if your dad gives you crap, he's full of crap.
I would also say I would have loved the scene where the BRS man was like, well, we were looking into some of your business's past transactions, and Papa could have said, I thought those were private. And then the BRS man could have said, they are private until something starts to stink.
Wouldn't it be great if he's like walking around the BRS office? He's like, what's that smell?
Smells like debt.
It smells like I need to make a personal visit.
Oh, I want to see this whole story from the BRS agent's perspective.
I want him to come in and smell brother's backpack and like, I guess this is just a family thing.
A family of garbage smellers.
You might say you're a garbage family. Well, he actually seems very polite, and he has a nice
hat. That's fitting because the BRS is going to throw you all in the dump.
The bear dump.
The money dump called Do Your Homework, Papa, and not Mama. She's got her stuff together. They file separately.
What would be even better is if Mama was behind all of it.
She like, reported him?
Yeah, she saw Papa Bear really coming down hard. And he thought in her head, like, you know what I hate more than this stink? It's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I hate hypocrisy. I'm gonna back off a little bit while sister gets some smug looks. I'm going to put a little tip line into the anonymous tip into the BRS so that everyone learns a lesson. What that lesson is nebulous.
Yes. Always being watched.
Always being watched.
So my other question is, what is the homework hassle?
The hassle is that doing homework sucks.
It does.
It's no fun. It gets in the way of everything. You only live once. I don't know if you've heard of YOLO.
Mm-hmm.
I've come across it on t-shirts at the stores.
Yes.
And then I asked my daughter what it meant. And she told me.
Yep.
That you only live once. And I'm like, okay, you only live once. How much of that life do you want to spend doing homework?
Busy work.
Like when you die and you're in your last breath and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you think to yourself, my fingers are going cold. My toes are going cold. But man, I got all my homework done.
Yeah. No one ever on their deathbed said, oh, I sure wish I'd spent more time doing my taxes. That's not true. I bet a lot of people actually on their deathbed said they wish they'd done their taxes because
they're screwing their dependents.
And they were probably like, I would not be dying right now if I had taken care of my finances. But
homework, however, no one said like, I wish I had done more geography.
I kind of wish I had done my homework better, though, now that I think about it.
I wish I had taken a magic pill that had made me smarter. And mm-hmm. I didn't have to do homework. Yeah. That's what I wish. If we're going to do wishes, that's what I would wish for.
So now is the time when I'm going to tell the stupidest thing I ever did.
I'm excited
to get out of a late homework assignment. Not get out of it, but okay. So in English class, my senior year, we had an assignment that was we had to write a full diary, like a thick diary of a historical character from a historical time period that reflected like I don't even remember why we're doing this in English class. I don't even remember what the context of it was. But it was a long project, and we had to hand in these diaries that we'd written just to sort of like, I don't know why. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. And it was late, and then it was really late, and then it was almost too late. And I was like, I need to get this thing done. I need to get turned in. So I had the key to the high school because I was a theater student and I had the key. After school hours at dark in the middle of the night, I drove to the school and I broke into the theater building and I used their computer because I didn't have a computer. And I spent hours writing every diary entry for this stupid project. Just hours. But I didn't just write it as a diary. I wrote it as from the this is the stupidest thing in the world. From the perspective of somebody who had been sent back in time into that world and were sending reports to the government. Wait for it. It gets stupider. And I finished it up. And then I drove to a Kinko's and had them bind it with like plastic binding. And then I put it in a manila envelope and wrote like top secret on it. And then I dressed up in a suit and tie and drove it early in the morning to my teacher's house and delivered it as if I were a government agent delivering top secret documents to my teacher, because that was the premise of the diary, was that this was a secret document.
I mean, you have to do it that way. I mean, if you want to be authentic with what you were doing.
I got a C on it, which was more than he should have given me, considering how late it was.
Right.
He was like, this was brilliant, but I still went through a lot of trouble for a project I could have just handed in on time.
You probably could have done a really mediocre project and got a B minus.
Yes, I definitely could. Considering what class I was, yes. I could have done a mediocre job and it would have stood out in the class.
I think back to a lot of my college years. I was a business student and didn't care for business.
Mm-hmm.
I was just told by my parents, every other degree is phony baloney. You're getting a business degree. And I was like, okay, I don't care. I had it my third year at an accounting professor. He was very excited about a new project he had. He had to me all year long. We were going to go and do the books for a company.
Ooh.
We had to go find a business that we knew somebody worked at. Assuming we knew someone, right. I didn't know anybody. And get their information. We were going to keep a fictional ledger for the entire year and pass it in the end of the year. And I looked at that and said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I asked him, I'm like, so what percentage of this is our grade? Because the other three equal accounting classes do not have this project.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, well, I'm piloting it, but it's only worth 10%. So I'm like, oh, so if I don't do this, my top I can get in the class is an A-.
Yeah.
If I do everything else. Yeah. But you need to do it. I'm like, but you just said it's only worth 10%. Well, I really appreciate you doing it. Like, I am not doing it. And I made him mad every day for the entire semester. Just infuriated him. As I, like, we would, at the end of class, like, here's 10 minutes. 10 minutes, we're going to talk about any questions on this project you're doing. And I would get up and leave. I would just walk up and walk out of the classroom every day. Go see my girlfriend.
That's the best answer to this riddle is homework should always take second place to like a significant other.
Right. Girls.
Yep. Brother knows best.
Brother is working for the future.
I thought you were going to say that you kept this fake ledger and that's how you brought down Enron.
I did bring down Enron, but that's a story for another time.
Yep. So thank you so much, Brian, for being on the show again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Will you tell our listeners where they can find you not here?
Not here. Well, I have a podcast as well. It is called Predictocast. We watch the first 10 minutes of a movie, make some predictions of where we think the movie's going, and then watch the rest and find out how wrong we were about everything.
Mm-hmm.
We take listener requests to find the craziest, most nonsensical movies. We also do a little some side things. We watch dog movies. For reasons I haven't quite figured out, we do a side podcast called Hot Diggity Dog, where we watch the craziest dog movies and suffer through them. And I do a podcast version with my daughter, Holly, called Predictocast Jr. The holidays are coming up. We are going to spend basically the entire month of December making our friends on their podcast watch dog movies.
Woo-hoo!
So that's coming, four of those. And we're taking all listener requests for November. And they're all terrible and I had to put up with them and watch them in the next 2 weeks, so that will be fun for me.
Good. Sounds like fun for everyone.
For everyone. Listen to me suffer on air.
And if you also want to hear more of Brian, go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry, because on the that there for all our patrons, you're going to be able to hear a small sequel to this episode where Brian and I talk about the Berenstain Bears and the Homework Castle, the TV episode.
I'm very excited about that. Every time I get to talk about the TV episodes, I brighten up.
Here we go. So you can find us at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. You can find us on Twitter at bstainbearcast. You can write to me at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com or go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry and throw some money at me. Just throw it right at me. And I'd really appreciate that. And you'll get to hear more of Brian's dulcet tones in addition to other things that I've done on there. Brian, I'll see you on the other side.
See you on the flip bear side.
Or something. I don't know. Sure. And everyone else, I'll see you all next time deep in bear country.